Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Kevin Kumashiro, who is Professor of Asian American Studies and Education at the University of Illinois, Chicago, where he was formerly the Chair of Educational Policy Studies. He is the founding director of the Center for Anti-Oppressive Education and president-elect of the National Association of Multicultural Education, and his research, teaching, and activism are redefining the field of anti-oppressive education as he develops new approaches to addressing issues of social justice in schools. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kevin Kumashiro.
Thank you very much for having me.
And today in Chicago, 26,000 teachers have gone out on strike along with support staff, affecting 400,000 students. And this, of course, is pitting a democratically controlled city against its former union allies. When do you think this will be resolved?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. It's hard to say, you know. And I think it's hard to say because The strike is an unusual one that deserves our attention. Usually when we think about unions going on strike, we think about unions advocating for better compensation. And indeed, that's part of any negotiation. But the interesting thing with this strike is that both the union and the Chicago Public Schools have made it quite clear that they came quite close to agreement on compensation. So the strike is actually not about compensation. It's about the belief among the teachers that the reforms underway are making it very difficult for them to do their job, right? In other words, it's a strike that's trying to push back on the larger reforms underway in Chicago public schools.
Well, in terms of pay, apparently both sides were close to a pay agreement. After school officials offered an increase of 16% over 4 years on the average for most teachers. And the average teacher salary in Chicago is $74,839 for the 2011-2012 school year, according to the district. Now, that's going to strike a lot of people as being a fairly substantial wage.
Yeah, and I guess I would say several things, right? One is that the Chicago Public Schools is also implementing a number of changes, right? One of them being lengthening the school day. And I think that was part of the struggle, is to say you're lengthening the day, you're increasing the work. How is that being balanced in terms of how we're compensating teachers, right? I also think, though, that when we talk about individual compensations, we sometimes lose sight of the bigger picture in terms of the overall budget, right? Salaries is one part of what we need to be talking about. Teacher salaries is one part. There are a whole bunch of other salaries that are part of this equation as well, right, that get factored into public school budgets. And then there's all the other things that happen in public education that are not only about salaries, right? You know, one of the things that the teachers union is trying to push back on is the idea that we are outsourcing a lot. Public school districts across the country are outsourcing more and more. And in fact, if to get the funds through a race to the top, you actually have to show how you're going to outsource, because it's a massive amount of spending in a short period of time, right? How are you going to hire companies to help you do all the things that you're trying to do? Outsourcing is becoming a bigger and bigger part of public school reform. And I think one of the things that they're trying to raise is, well, when we outsource, right, when we're paying other companies to do things, what is not being met, what needs are not being met by those funds, right? And one of those needs would be buildings, right? We have buildings that are in disrepair, where water is leaking through the roofs when it rains, and on the flip side, when it's really hot, some of these classrooms are getting into the upper 90 degrees. Right, it's not just uncomfortable, it's just not conducive to teaching and learning, and not very healthy either, right? So I think it's asking those broader questions about, well, what does the overall budget look like, right? How are we spending our money? And does the spending reflect the priorities that we should have as we think about what is best for our children?
So these reforms that you just mentioned, they come directly from the Education Secretary, Arne Duncan, who's the former head of the Chicago School District, right?
That's right. That's right. Arne Duncan, the now Secretary of Education, used to be the CEO of Chicago Public Schools. And some of the signature reforms of the Obama-Duncan administration, like Race to the Top, found its footing here in Chicago under what was the signature reform of Arne Duncan's time here, which is called Renaissance 2010. It was a plan to close, it was a turnaround school plan, right? It was a plan to close down about 60 or 70 so-called failing schools, open up about 100 new schools, and that was supposed to drive improvement. And one of the things that people often forget is that about a year before he released his plan, the Commercial Club of Chicago released their plan to improve public education or to reform public education in Chicago. It was a plan called Left Behind that basically laid the blueprint for Renaissance 2010. And I think this is not unusual, right? Throughout the past century, we've seen an increasing role of the business sector in terms of driving school reform, in terms of coming up with the ideas of what school reform should look like. And again, I think one of the questions that this should raise for us is, well, what's the basis for the decisions we're making around school reform, right? Is it profit? Is it looking at research? Is it a vision for what's best for our kids? And I think this is where the struggle is happening, right? That a lot of the reforms seem to be driven more so by profit than by the other things, like research, like a vision for what's best for our nation's kids.
Again, I'm speaking with Kevin Kumashiro, who's a professor of Asian American Studies and Education at the University of Illinois Chicago, where he was formerly the chair of the Educational Policy Studies. He is the founding director of the Center for Anti-Oppressive Education and president-elect of the National Association for Multicultural Education. And Kevin, you have said that the teachers are not striking primarily about money. They are striking to change the reforms that have made their jobs nearly impossible. So just, I know you've mentioned it before, but just specifically, what are the reforms that make their job impossible?
You know, one reform would be the turnaround policy, right? This is a practice that has been going on now for approaching a decade. And one of the things that the research is showing us is that, in the first place, the decisions about what schools to get closed are not often based on research that shows us that the schools are struggling, right? It's decisions that are not often based on with community input about what is best for their children. Sometimes decisions about school closing goes hand in hand with decisions around which neighborhoods are being gentrified at the time, right? So when we look at the impact that such policies are having, it should not be surprising that schools that the turnaround policy is actually not leading to the kinds of improvements that we want to see. One thing that we're seeing is that the schools that were struggling the most are not the ones that are benefiting, and that in fact they're ending up often in worse conditions, like with less funding, with less retention of students and teachers, with increased violence as students are now being forced to cross gang lines, right? These are some of the examples of how the turnaround policies is actually making teaching and learning more difficult. But there's also policies around teacher evaluation, and you may have seen that this is one of the big issues that is in disagreement between the union and the Chicago Public School District. Around the country, school districts and states really are moving towards teacher evaluation systems that are based primarily on student test scores, right? And this is happening despite that testing expert after testing expert is telling us that student tests are helpful for some decisions, but they are neither valid nor reliable as a measure of teacher effectiveness and teacher quality, right? And yet we're moving increasingly towards the use of student tests to make huge decisions like which teachers get retained or punished, like which schools get turned around, the so-called turnaround policy. So I think that's another thing that is showing us that we need to be paying more attention to the research. And just to kind of bring this back to your question, so how does this affect students? If we look at the proposals or the plan that the Chicago Public Schools is supposed to be launching this year around teacher evaluation, it is estimated that thousands of teachers could be negatively affected by a rating system that we already know is unreliable. Right. So if you had a rating system and you found that thousands of teachers are not very effective, then I would agree we need to do something about that. Right. We need to either give them professional development to improve, or we need to ask them to leave the teaching profession. But if the evaluation system isn't even reliable, then why are we putting so many jobs in jeopardy? Right. It's going to lead to an enormous amount of instability for the students in schools that we know are struggling the most. Right. So that's another impact. And it kind of comes back to when people talk about the strike, they're quick to say, the teachers are being greedy, they're just doing this for their own money, and it's disrupting the education of our students. Yes, in the short term, the strike is stopping schools. It's a disruption to education. But what's the long-term picture? Well, the long-term picture is that if we don't change the policies, the disruptions are arguably much more sustained, right, than what we're seeing with the strike. And I think that's the bigger picture that we want to keep in mind.
Well, Kevin Kumashiro, again, professor of Asian American Studies and Education at the University of Illinois Chicago, where he was formerly the chair of Educational Policy Studies. He's also the founding director of the Center for Anti-Oppressive Education. Give us a sense of what that means, anti-oppressive education, and how do you address issues of social justice in schools? You mentioned some of these so-called reforms that are forcing gang kids to cross gang lines. Isn't that a huge part of the problem if you have children coming from disadvantaged socioeconomic environments? What are the roles of schools today with kids like that? They are obviously being forced to be more than institutions for education, but they're also expected to be institutions for social remediation, aren't they?
There's a lot of roles being placed and expectations being placed on schools, absolutely. I think when I think about things like violence, and when I think about things like how violence in communities seep into schools, it reminds me that no reform of education can be thought about in terms of like a silver bullet. There's no one simple thing that can be done that's going to suddenly improve education, because education is tightly, tightly connected with so many other facets of life, right? It's connected to violence in communities. It's connected to poverty. It's connected to healthcare, right? You cannot expect students to learn if, the story I like that I always remember is, you can't expect a student to learn if they're sitting in your classroom with a toothache, right? You can't expect students to learn if they're hungry. So the school reform has to go hand in hand with other kinds of reforms, absolutely. It doesn't mean that schools are supposed to solve all the problems. What it does mean is that you can't talk about school reform without talking about these other kinds of issues.
Well, just in closing, Kevin Kumashiro, this is clearly a political year, and this is clearly a political event that's going on in Chicago, given that Rahm Emanuel and Arne Duncan, both close to the president, are involved one way or another in this. How is this going to play out in terms of election politics?
That's such a good question, right? There are a lot of leaders in the Democratic Party, as well as leaders in the national offices of the unions, who did not want this strike to happen, right? It could hurt the Democratic Party in this huge election year. But what are some thoughts that give this context? There are many critics who are saying that the Democratic Party has taken for granted its labor constituent, right? Where was the Democratic Party when the onslaught over the past year and a half against the public sector was happening, right? And in fact, wasn't it some of the leaders of the Democratic Party that was encouraging people in places like Wisconsin to stop this public occupation, to move what was a social movement into electoral politics, right? Hey, let's end the occupation and let's try to vote to get them recalled. And there are some very smart analyses out there that says when you move from a social movement, which is about changing consciousness, and you move that into an electoral battle, right, voting to change law or to change who's in elected office, you lose something, right? You lose this larger goal of trying to shift the debate, of trying to shift public consciousness.
Sure.
And I think that's some of what we're seeing here, is that the unions are changing the rules of engagement, right? That we're, in some ways, we're seeing unions return to the strategies that defined union work half a century ago, right? Unions, over the past half a century, were changing their tactics. They were moving more and more towards electoral politics. And I think what we're seeing now is a shift where they're returning back to grassroots mobilization, to open sort of public resistance as a way to try to shift the consciousness, shift the conversation, and see if that impacts policies and practices in the ways that really do benefit our nation's young people.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Kevin Kumashiro.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Again, I've been speaking with Kevin Kumashiro, who's a professor of Asian American Studies and Education at the University of Illinois Chicago, where he was formerly the chair of Educational Policy Studies. He is the founding director of the Center for Anti-Oppressive Education and president-elect of the National Association for Multicultural Education, and his research, teaching, and activism are redefining the field of anti-oppressive education as he develops new approaches to addressing issues of social justice in schools. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about how López Obrador in Mexico has resigned from the PRD party to form his own new party that's likely to split the left in Mexico. Dealing with some issues that you can't believe. Single black female addicted to retail as well. And when it falls down, who you gonna call now? Come on, come on. And when it all falls down, man, I promise. And when it falls down, who you gonna call now? Come on, come on. And when it all falls down, man, I promise. I'm so sorry.